Oh no, it is an unfortunate back end of a road trip out to the West Coast where the Nets had to travel. It wasn't easy. It wasn't going to be just a walk in the park, despite it being a depleted Portland Trailblazers roster. And the Nets made it difficult for themselves. There's questions around the way they started. There's questions around the way they were focused. And then there's ultimately questions maybe around Steve Nash as he pulls the plug and looks to some young talent too late. It's not all doom and gloom, Doug. We do wax positive around these young players, but also the Nets did lose.
It's a little doomy and gloomy to start. This is not what you wanted to see. Obviously, the circumstances are bad for the Nets. Still a very winnable game, a game they should have won, especially when you look at the roster of the opposing team. This is taking in long flights and all the other stuff into account. It's a tough one to lose. We're going to break it all down. But first, the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Oh, yes, it's the Locked On Nets podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team, the Brooklyn Nets, every single day over there. Is at Doug Norrie, Blue Checkmark Certified Fresh Owner Operator DFSR for all your daily fantasy sports rankings, FanDuel, DraftKings. If you need daily projections, that's the spot for you. I am at Adam Arbrecht, also heading into the offseason on the OGP One Giant podcast with my boy Andy Mack. 114-108, a loss on the back-to-back for the Brooklyn Nets. We thank you for making us your first listen of the day. And ask the question, Doug, does it really matter how late it is as long as you're watching Nets basketball?
The only thing that would have done this in if that Kyrie had actually twisted his ankle and he had a sprained ankle. That would have been the only kind of, or that would have been like the sort of like the nail on the evening coffin, as it were, on this game, because this is a rough one again for the Nets. I get why probably Nets fans are, I don't know if we're in freak out mode here, because I don't think you can't really be freaking out like pre All-Star break. That's just like not how it works. But this is just another game, and there's contextual stuff that we'll talk about, but this is just another game where you see some of like the main problems this team has right now. And you do start to wonder, like, is this current construction, which is not going to be the end of the season, is this current construction championship level, you know, sort of caliber team? Because they lost this, the team they lost to the Blazers, this absolute garbage. Like, this is their B squad. Like, they still have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving versus Anthony Simons and Ben McLemore. I mean, like, what are we doing here? And so, I don't know. We'll talk about it, but this is a rough one.
I have a question for you actually a little bit later on off of something that we've discussed off of the podcast that I'll be curious about in the current construction of this team. Going to break down the lead up to this game, obviously, on the backside of the back-to-back. We're going to talk about what went wrong in this game. And then also, we're going to get you on a positive note, because there was a lot of good things from some of the young players on this roster. Unfortunately, it doesn't come in a win. But let's start with, we know the game against the Spurs on Sunday, they had to move that one up to noon. This is how you get this game back in onto the slate after it had been moved from December. You're out on the road now. You do have to go East Coast to West Coast. That's a factor, sure. No James Harden coming into this one. He had bumped his knee in that Spurs game, so a little hyperextension. He's out. No LaMarcus Aldridge either. So you are down a couple of key pieces coming into this game. To your point, though, the Portland Trailblazers are down all of their best players. And it's just actually, you know what? I'm going to ask you this off the top here because it's probably worth it. We've had this discussion around when you have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, any two of the three, you're just the better team on the court. The Nets are supposed to be the better team just by having those two players. And yet we are getting sample sizes here where it's like, hey, why aren't you winning? Like, and there's a lot of things in this game specifically, but just the broader question of like, why aren't you just the better team because you have two of the three best players on the court almost every single night? There seems to be some disconnect there right now. And we know there's a fatigue factor and Kyrie Irving just coming back as well.
Yeah, I'm stopping short of freaking out about this because I just don't think it pays to do that January 11th. Again, like weeks before the All-Star break, weeks before the trade deadline, like we're still sort of like in the season's infancy here. Even though we're, you know, more, are we halfway through here? We're close. 39. Yeah, we're not even halfway through the season yet, right? So I'm not going to freak out about this kind of result because there's context. And look, and I, it is not for nothing. Go playing a noon game and then flying across the country to play another game is sort of unprecedented in NBA scheduling. That does not happen. Like there's just the schedule is typically planned out very methodically around to like to specifically avoid this exact thing, which is a major strain on you to from like a rest and just like recuperation perspective to have to do this. So like this was sort of a once in a lifetime thing. Mm-hmm. And that being said, when you have these two guys, and I'm by the way, I'm putting Kyrie in like mid-season form here. Like he's playing, like I'm not even gonna use the thing, oh, he just came back. He's playing like he's in mid-season form. So I don't think we can even say, oh, he's still acclimating himself. That seems to be not be the case. He's looked excellent in his minutes so far. I do think there's a thing where you should be winning these games. I'm not, it's in some ways very clear to me why they're not. And it also feels like these just shouldn't be the results. Like it shouldn't be that hard of a fight against the Spurs. It should not be a loss here against an undermanned Portland team, even with the context. And I think Nets fans and like us, I think there's right to be look at this and kind of sigh about this, like, oh, about this result, because this is just not, it's pretty avoidable and it really just shouldn't be happening. And it feels like it's kind of the story of the season. All their games have been close. They can't blow teams out. They can't beat the good teams. That's just been, we're 39 or 40 games into this thing, and this has been basically the theme since day one.
And it feels a little bit like on that theme that every time you think they're going to get over this hump around one of these pieces, and I don't even mean from an X's and O's thing or an execution piece or a roles component, it's like going back. Well, you think maybe something's going to work here. Now all the veterans go into protocols and Kevin Durant has to do the big lift. Then you flip-flop it and Harden has to do the big lift. Now you do get Kyrie back and it's a second game. And I think he does. He looks like he is in incredibly fresh. Looks it like looks he's great. In great form. Yeah, he looks like he's everything that he's supposed to be. And on a quick side note, I don't get traction with a lot of things, but I don't know why the nickname Redford is not something that people want to pick up on around Kyrie Irving. Do you make the connection when I do that? I'm not going to derail this too far. Redford, the natural, Robert Redford. Does that do anything for anybody?
Oh, I had no idea what you were talking about. I mean, I get it.
See,
now.
There it is.
You're talking about,
I know.
Like Roy,
I know,
like Roy Hobbs, like that natural. Is that what you're
it's
going
a whole,
for?
Yeah, it's a whole thing. Like he's,
yeah,
you know,
I would
he's
workshop.
So,
I would take that one back into the. I would take that one back into the class and just like do the workshop a little bit.
Point being is that he's in good form, but there, I think the one component to your point about this is a very unique, fluky thing around the scheduling and what's happened this year. Is that every time it looks like we get to a point where we're watching the Nets and saying, now we can start to form concrete opinions, some other little thing comes up that impacts your ability to feel like, hey, this sample size tells me X, this sample size tells me Y. There's been a handful of players that we feel like we know how we stand on them. But for the most part, it was the 18th rotation. We're going to get into it. But it was the 18th starting lineup that the Brooklyn Nets have had this season. And I know a lot of teams have had this as well. But I that's where I think I do stop short of any overreactions, not just on a game-to-game basis, but even as we get close to the midway point of the season, because I still don't feel like I have a definitive version of what this roster is supposed to look like or what the intentions were around this team coming into the year.
I'll agree with you on there's inconsistency around sort of there's inconsistency around the rotations and the you know what players are overlapping and all this other stuff. I feel you on that one. I think that's like not too different than most other NBA teams at this point. Mm-hmm. And most teams are playing with this sort of problem between protocols and injuries and all this other stuff. Most teams are in complete and utter flux right now. So I don't think we can like isolate the Nets as being in a different situation. I will say one difference with the Nets. Or one thing I think is a theme, and I think this is where it has come through tonight, and I thought it came through with the Spurs, and it's kind of just been, maybe this is the thing, is there really does seem to be a total lack of urgency around this team. Now, you want to say it's the regular season, and they know these games don't matter as much as later, and we're going to, you know, we'll put our stamp on it when the games matter the most. But there does seem to be this, like, lack of, I guess that's the only way I can say it, lack of urgency around just even early in games, like, hey, we could just dominate this. Like, yeah, you have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Come out and just get up 10 points. Like, get up 12 points and let's just like be rolling downhill with this game. They cannot seem to do that. Like, for whatever reason, I'm not sure, like, if it's the makeup of the team or just like the personalities or just bad, like, it could just be bad luck. Like, I think there's a lot of things that go into this. I think sometimes some of these starting lineups have been confusing to me. I think we're gonna probably butt heads on that later, but whatever. Like, there just seems to be this thing where, hey, can we wake up before the 6 minute mark of the game? Like, can we start playing? Like, can we just when the first whistle blows, can we start go out there and really just try to just stick our foot into your neck? Because they just don't seem to have that little piece in them. It's always like hey, we're gonna make a run. Oh, like, we have these guys, we'll make a run late and we'll put you out, you know, that's when we win the game. They don't seem to ever come out and just say, hey, maybe we could just win this game by the time the first quarter's over. Right. No. And like, and you,
that's the ever present theme here is
you
is,
can try
is,
to play catch up. You, Anfernee Simons and Ben McLemore and Nasir Little, you can try to catch up with us. It's not, they don't seem to be able to do like, or you, DeJounte Murray and Josh Primo and Devin Vassell, like these other guys. Like, by the way, I'm naming names that are just not, I mean, they're, you know, I mean, some of these guys are real NBA players, but they're not Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden, right? Like, can we just have a game where your underwhelming personnel needs to play catch up with us? They just can't seem to do that. This is just another example of that.
Yeah, that's the ever-present theme, regardless of circumstances or players in and out, whatever it is. The Nets consistently are the team that seems to be under pressure in a game that very much is supposed
to be
the
underdogs. Like, right. They're the underdogs. Like, no, they're 9-point favorites going to this game. They're 11.5-point favorites against the Spurs. Like, when you are playing those kind of spreads, like, you are the dominant team. You need to be out there dictating the style, the pace, and everything else about it. And then, you know, sort of imposing your will. They lack the ability to do that. And every game ends up becoming a dogfight when it really doesn't seem like it needs to be.
Let's get into where it went wrong in this particular game, areas that we maybe do butt heads in here. And then, as we said, on the back end of it, still try to send you out on a positive note with some of the performances from the young players. But first, got to tell you about our friends over at Bet Online, because they want to wish you a happy new betting year as they continue to give you all of the bets and props and odds that you need as the march to the playoffs begins here for the NFL football season. They remain your number one spot for all the best sports wagering action in 2022. It's a new year, and that means you have the new updated desktop and mobile website. You sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus just by using the promo code LOCKEDON on your first deposit. 50% welcome bonus, promo code LOCKEDON, from football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC, right down to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take part of the action over and on the BetOnline website, along with all these amazing offers for 2022. It's so good, I can barely even tell you about it. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. So, where this game started was seemingly with the understanding that the referees like their whistles and they're going to use them hot and heavy, wet and wild. And I'm not talking about the referees' impact of this game. But to your point about coming out and being ready to play, I mean, the Nets were willing to foul anything that moved. It just looked like they had, I don't know, a low desire to be functioning, to be communicating, to be rotating on their switches. And there's specific matchup problems in this one. We'll get to that piece of it, I guess. That obviously was a big component early. But right from the start, you took an issue with the starting rotation that the Nets put out there.
Yeah, I don't really understand why the David Duke thing is still happening. I probably would have given Edwards the start here. They showed the willingness to be able to play him, so like that was no longer the issue. So once the willingness to play him is there, I think at that point, like, I don't think that David Duke Jr. has done so much. And maybe you don't want to kill his confidence, but I think they're in such a state of flux that I think that you can just say, hey, we're going to try different things. They're clearly just doing all these different things. So I don't think you need to adhere to, you know, you started last game, and so therefore, you know, you get to start this game as well, which is like, Nash had kind of intimated that was the idea. Is like, hey, we're going to give this like 4 or 5 games. We don't want to like kill his confidence, whatever. I don't think you need to be in that spot at this point with these guys. I think that they're just like, hey, we're just going to keep trying different stuff. I would not have done this. I thought this before the game, like that I would have probably had at least try to get Edwards out there so there's at least one more floor spacer. Because again, we see what happens when they start these lineups that, yeah, there's like some slashing stuff and cutting stuff, but it's just not enough. It's just not enough. Like I know the athleticism is there, but it's not enough. And the offense is totally bogged down in the first quarter because they can't get spacing. and it just becomes very difficult to get shots. And it's once again sort of the same old wash, rinse, repeat thing with this offense where you're playing like this late 90s style offense with everyone just standing in the same spots. Like all these guys, by the way, all these guys, Bembry, Claxton, Duke, they are, I know that Claxton, or excuse me, I know that Bembry and Duke are small, but they are essentially like Bruce Brown was last year. They're like these like mini bigs, right? Mm-hmm. And when you have these guys all on the court, they all default to go into the same spot, which is like elbow out, dunker spot, you know, or moving out and then try to slash in. And then just because it's freaking log jam and you can't get anything done. And it, like, that was the whole first quarter. Like the whole first quarter was like this. It was just bogged into the mire.
Well, and it's funny. On the idea, because I talked about this before, I thought that a lineup where you have Bembry and Kessler Edwards out there together makes a lot of sense because you get this combination of length, defensive size, you have a little bit of slasher. Edwards has shown the ability for some rebounding and can knock down the perimeter shot, the thing that you need to try to supplement behind Kevin Durant and tonight Kyrie Irving. So I agree with you in that sense of it. The difficult part is coming into it, the reason why I thought, hey, I like going with this lineup to start, or I'm fine with it, is exactly what you talked about. The slashing that these guys provide, that you can get Claxton down the lane, the rolls to the rim, and we've talked about the creative passing of Kyrie Irving, but I didn't see what I thought I was going to see from them. Right. So maybe that's a little bit of the problem, is like on paper, I think it makes a lot of sense and it'll be effective. But then I almost had to swallow my tweet when I watched the game and I thought, oh, well, Bembry and Duke Jr. aren't doing a ton of slashing. They aren't crashing the lanes and creating some space on the perimeter. So the functionality of the lineup was not what I thought it was capable of. And the last little, I think then the second piece of it is Claxton picks up a couple of quick fouls, trying to defend against Nurkic. That's a really difficult matchup for him.
Yep.
Things get a little wonky almost immediately when then you bring in Blake Griffin. The next two guys off the bench are Cam Thomas and Kessler Edwards. But things do get thrown into a bit of a helter-skelter when you don't already have LaMarcus Aldridge. But this is the part where I thought it was going to be good, but they didn't execute it in the way that the best version would be on the court, right? That's what I think the disconnect is for me anyway.
I think I see that, because I think what you're saying, I think what you're hoping for with that lineup is like, we're going to create some chaos here, right? Like they're playing a lot of wings. They're playing like these sort of like underexperienced, maybe journeyman-ish young guys, like in Simon. Oh, Simon's not a journeyman, but like it's Simon's, it's McLemore, it's Little, it's Covington. We know he's like a good like overall defender, but like not a good on-ball defender. But you know, you're like, okay, well, they're not dealing with a ton of offense here. We can get away with this. We can create chaos. We can get on transition. We can be super athletic. The problem is when that doesn't happen, which it didn't happen with this group, when it doesn't happen, it looks terrible. And like, that's what ended up happening. It looked terrible. And the second it starts looking terrible, I think you need to get away from it really quick. Now, I guess credit to Nash, because he didn't really go back to it, right? These guys played, like Bembry and Duke played very, very limited minutes once the rookies kind of started turning it on. So, I mean, I guess that's a positive.
Also, as well, too, here's what's funny is I thought that when you said you didn't like the lineup, it was going to be about put Patty Mills into the starting lineup. So you
I would have done that also, too. By the way,
this was my other pushback piece, was going to be that when you're on the road and you have Kyrie Irving, and we've talked about this, trying to save some minutes, that was the other factor, is the premise should be, now you don't have Harden, and that makes it a lot more difficult, but on the road, when you have Kyrie, this is where you want to have Mills play less minutes so that you know when you want to lean into him a little bit more in the home games, you have that opportunity. This is about balancing the minute book. So that was the other piece where I thought, okay, you want to stick with David Duke Jr. in the starting lineup and avoid overusing Patty Mills. Now, again, he ends up playing 31 minutes anyway, and that's a part of this too. Kevin Durant plays way too many minutes in this game. You know, Kyrie Irving, it's fine. He's just getting back, but you still have Kevin Durant play 42 minutes in this game. I know that he wants to be out there and win every single one, but this is also the part of it too. I'm okay with the experimentation, doing different things in the rotations, giving different guys extended looks, fourth straight start for David Duke Jr. You can go as long as you want with any of these options, but it also has to accomplish what I think are the most important goals, which is rest for certain players as well. And now you're not doing that either while still looking clunky and disorganized.
Again, this is another example of worst of all worlds, right? Like, we get the worst of all worlds with this result, because they play, like, they go across the country. Durant plays 42 minutes, they lose, and you start a starting lineup that you end up not playing because it stinks, And then, and so it's like, well, what did we get from this? Nothing. There was literally nothing. It was all negatives here. I take that back. We saw a little bit from the rookies, which we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
But I do think, and I think we've been pretty even-handed with Nash so far. If it's me, I have to probably start pushing back on some of these decisions. Like, they just don't seem to make sense prior to the thing starting. They make even less sense when you see it. And I get that he's playing with like a little, like less than a full, not like mentally, but like rotationally less than a full deck of his guys. But there are just other options. And sometimes to me, it looks a little worse when the options that you get pressed into playing because you are down or other things went wrong and those options end up looking better. Like, that is sort of an indictment. I get that it happened, so you end up playing these guys, but because it wasn't the first option, it looks like you did it by default, and then the default thing looks better. And I just thought, I have the receipts on this about the starting lineup. So, like, this isn't me coming in here after the fact. And, you know, you were honest about, like, liking it. Like, I think we're honest.
I have receipts too. They're just not the best ones.
We're honest about this stuff. I think that's good. I think we're never going to, you know, put our feet in the sand and just refuse to ever move around things. Like, I think we're fine to admit when we're wrong. But this is just one of these situations where we've been saying it forever. They need a little more spacing. You need to try to get as much spacing as possible. This is the exact team that you can do it against. You can take defense. Of liabilities, you can start a Cam Thomas. This team is not going to kill you offensively. They're just not. It's Anthony Simons, Ben McLemore, Nasir Little. You can live with some defensive downside by starting some of these other guys because you're just not theoretically going to get killed by it. And to not do that, I just thought it's something of a failing. So we can get into the positives here in a second, but that is my take on this now. Is like, I don't think I've really been totally critical of Nash. And I'm starting to get a little confused about some of the decisions.
And I'll go even a little bit more extreme, maybe in that vein here in a second. But first, don't forget to check out the Locked On Now podcast. Been telling you about it. It is, of course, a somewhat unique thing to the Locked On Podcast Network because we have all the local experts. So you're going to get all the insights from local guys like us, but every single team around the league. It's free on all the platforms. So be sure to check that out. On the positive side of it, then, I'll stay with Nash for a second here, because you mentioned it's easy on the back end of this. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that this is the thought that I had coming into the game. But when you think about the matchup specifically with Nurkic and you think about Nicholas Claxton, I can go the extra mile and say, like, you don't have LaMarcus Aldridge. And this is where, once you see the positive returns, when you finally play De'Ron Sharp and you start playing more Cam Thomas and you start playing Kessler Edwards, this is where you then go back to the beginning and say, well, would it have been better just to have Kessler Edwards instead of David Duke Jr. in there? Probably. Would it have been better to look at the matchup, understand where Claxton still struggles, and make a different decision about who you want to start? Now, I'm not saying that putting De'Ron Sharp into the sauce here right to start the game is the answer, and Blake Griffin's minutes were absolutely terrible. But by the way, the reason why he got brought in is because he's at least thick enough to just bang bodies for a little bit. And I think if there's something that I'll be critical, at least in this moment with Steve Nash, it's that you really set up Claxton for a very difficult task, and borderline you set him up for failure when you tell him to go out there and try to defend with Nurkic underneath the glass in the paint. They went and attacked him with consistency. And at one point early when he picked up those two first fouls, the solution was to actually try to switch and put Nicholas Claxton out on the perimeter and just live with the results of Kevin Durant picking up Nurkic in the paint, which we know is not the ideal scenario either. So that's actually something where I think if you're coming in with the starting lineup, you're saying Nicholas Claxton, yeah, do your best, but it's going to get bad. And when you already don't have LaMarcus Aldridge, I think you're setting yourself up for a difficult lift there. We can get positive, but that's one little last piece.
It was clearly really tough for him. Like in this matchup, like he was just a total foul box. I actually think two of the fouls were probably just him being so frustrated that it was like not even really a basketball thing at that point. I think that's the second two of his fouls, like one where he was trying to establish like thing in the paint and he just hit him. Like there was, that was his fourth foul. And then Nick Claxton did get hurt in this one. He had a hamstring tightness and that's why he ended up sitting out the rest of the game. I actually think we probably would have seen him come back into this game. I don't mind it because I think it's worth, like, he needs to be able to show that he can try to hold up against some of these guys. And I think if you think Claxton's like a future piece, or just like, you know, a tradable piece, he needs to be able to show his either ability or like or maybe not, but like to be able to hold up against some of these bigger centers, he clearly couldn't. Like the Blazers made it a very big point to play post up basketball, which in this day and age is a pretty rare thing, but they went to that left or that right block with Nurkic, I don't know, every time in the first quarter, like no matter what the matchup was. So I don't really fault that one too much because I want to see how Claxton holds up in this one. He didn't, but I can't kill the decision-making on that part. Now, that being said, his failings get us to this other part, which is we get to see what some of these younger guys like De'Aaron Sharpe are able to do. And if we're going to take positives about it, that has to be a positive we take from this game.
I got to tell you, and we've talked about De'Aaron Sharpe before, and I said it at the start of this game, Clash Bandicoot, loyal follower of the podcast, was talking about wanting to see De'Aaron tonight. And I said, you got to hedge your bets here. And he picked up two fouls very quickly. And I went, because that's what he struggled with right now, is avoiding the fouls. But then all of a sudden, listen, he does some really good things. You go back to the Spurs game on Sunday. He gave you 6 rebounds, 5 of them offensive, second chance opportunities. That's important. He's obviously an NBA-ready body, so he can be physical with a guy like Nurkic and a guy like Zeller coming in there for them as well. But I'll even go a layer deeper. There's a lot of nice things that he did in this one. The best thing that I took away from what he did in this game was on the defensive end, the switches, and the fact that he was able to stay out on the perimeter against smaller guards and forwards and control himself, not overcommit, not foul beyond the arc, stay in front of them. That's a facet of his game that we hadn't seen yet in these small sample sizes. And if he's capable of doing a bit of that, now again, depending on matchups, right? It wasn't a full strength Portland team, but the fact that he showed that he's capable of doing some of that, that does open up another level of value for him because now it doesn't feel as limited or restrictive around what you can utilize him to do on both ends of the court.
Yeah, look, 24 minutes plus 14. I think, you know, we use plus minus when I want to make a point, and that's it. I cherry pick it only for the times I want to say
one
something.
Right now.
No, but I think actually plus minus is instructive in situations like this where there's a huge outlier around your minutes around and as compared to everybody else in a single game. Yep. And like his plus 24 in this case stands like, or excuse me, plus 14 in his 24 stands like in really sharp contrast to just about everybody else on the team. Mm-hmm. And like, they just won all of the De'Aaron Sharpe minutes. The minutes he was on, they were a winning basketball team. And the minutes he was off is where they lost the game. And I think in some ways that does point to what he was able to bring. Like he has a nose for the basketball, which they do not have any other guy like this. They have no other player that has like nose for the offensive rebound, you know, be able to fight little things where you're able to like tip the ball to yourself and stuff. That old Dennis Rodman thing, right? It was like, he just had an, I'm not comparing him to Dennis Rodman, but like, if you want to think about guys who have nose for basketball and like just how to like make the basketball get to the place where you want it to be, he has that in him. Mm-hmm. Like he can, you know, he doesn't need to go grab it. He can tip it to himself. He can move it. Like, he, you know, he's clearly a very physical guy. I think you saw enough from him and you've seen enough from him to say, okay, we can keep giving it a try. There's still big downsides to his game. Like, he doesn't have full body control, especially on the defensive end. This is why he's a total foul box at times. He's far, far, far from a complete player. I think he'll still struggle to get minutes because you cannot play him with any of the other bigs, and the other bigs are all ahead of him in the pecking order, like Aldridge, maybe not Blake. That's weird about it. It's actually interesting where he is with Blake, but like Aldridge, Claxton. But the thing is, once you dial out their minutes, there's no minutes left, and he can't play with any of those guys. So I think we'll probably still struggle to see him play a ton, but there's no denying and that he clearly can hang, at least in situations like this, where the rest of the other team is inexperienced or, you know, they have one big and that's kind of it. I thought he was fine. He was good. And I just think I'm only pumping the brakes because I just don't think the path for him is there. Not that he doesn't deserve the path, but you're not going to give his minutes over the other two guys I mentioned before. And after you just back their minutes out, there's just not that much left. And like, his minutes were great. Like he plays 30 minutes and they win the game. Like, that's kind of where it was going with him.
And maybe that, again, that piece of where's the criticism lie if you just lean into some of more of these guys heavily to make sure that we get to everyone. It wasn't a great shooting performance for Kessler Edwards. Still, though, in 15 minutes, again, the 5 rebounds. You mentioned about nose for the ball. I think that Kessler Edwards is kind of the similar kind of dude of, he just seems to be able to be in and around things. Had a really, really got up for a rebound on the offensive glass at one point as well. Came up with a steal. And with all these guys, there's always these little things you see and you go, okay, you're going to want to work on that. But the energy boost and that kind of what they brought with a level of pace and desire, you know, like that, yeah, that thing that just seems to be missing, these guys brought. And between the two of them, they end up combining De'Ron Sharpe and Edwards for 12 rebounds in this game. So, you know, there's clearly value there. I'm going to
move past Edwards, and then real quick, you couple them with Cam, and like, you got really, really good minutes out of these guys.
And that's
Cam
what was important.
Was awesome.
Cam Thomas was great in this one. He hits the little buzzer beater runner again. So he's showcasing that he has that ability. He goes coast to coast with his ball. I mean, it's the kind of thing that, you know, he's done 1,000 times at the college level, and he has no differential in his mind about, yeah, and I can do it here too. And we've been talking about that a lot. The big piece for me, this is something that we've been waiting on from him. We know his game has it. 4 of 7 from beyond the arc. That is massive, because he hasn't been able to do that yet at the NBA level. He can start doing this, and if it happens to be a byproduct of when Kyrie Irving is on the floor and the way that the game flow looks, now you're talking about something. Now you're adding another perimeter shooter. We think Kessler Edwards has that ability. If Cam Thomas starts to do more of this, now you're building up. We assume when Joe Harris gets back, now you have a handful of guys that can do that and creates a flexibility to the lineup. But I thought this was among Cam Thomas's better performances so far in his young career.
And I thought this, and this is not retroactive either, he's another guy that I would have thought about starting in this spot too, just for the ability to like add another scorer, because you can give up the defensive stuff. If you start like him and then you start Bembry, like if you switch that up, you put him in the David Duke spot and start Bembry, it just gives you that other like sort of mini 3-level scorer, a little bit of a threat. He gives you spacing, because you absolutely cannot leave him like wide open around the 3-point line, because he will make it. And he just adds, like that one little piece that allows for the spacing a little bit more. And then you get either Bembry or Duke. I probably would play Bembry if I was starting Cam, just for a little more size. But like, again, like this is the opportunity to try to do that. And it's like, I just feel like it's a little bit of a failing to not realize that like, this is what you kind of need in this situation. And maybe I'm just playing the results, because he was really good in this game. But I still think that this is something. This seems to be the core problem with them on offense, is they just don't have that when it starts, because it's so bogged down. And he's not gonna be a massive defensive liability just because of how sort of bad the other team is. And I think we just saw it. And it's, again, like he was a plus, you know, he was 0 for this game, but 26 points, like 26 minutes, 8 for 12, 4 for 7 from 3, 21 points. He clearly like is available for the moment when it comes to like hitting shots and not having a problem sharing the court with these other superstars or being intimidated by that in any point at all. And yeah, I don't know. It was just, it's positive, but I wish he played 29 minutes instead of 30, and then maybe they win.
It's 4 more for De'Ron, 4 more for Cam Thomas, 3 more for Kessler Edwards, and the rookies help you win this game. Right. I think, again, not to be retroactive about it, but when you mention that, it does feel like, well, if you start Cam Thomas instead of David Duke Jr., then you can play this process of saying, and then maybe because it's Kyrie and it's his second game back, when you take him out, you can throw in David Duke Jr. for a couple of minutes there and then start to rotate through some of your other offensive weapons. Now, again, the big missing piece of LaMarcus Aldridge and what that means to the second unit. This was a game where, I'll get out on this, I was happy to sacrifice the offensive output or whatever you were going to lose by not having Patty Mills be available for you. Like, I think at some point, if we're going to case this inside of Steve Nash and some of our criticisms, at some point you need to be willing to just turn something off here. And whatever you're experimenting with, I like seeing all the rookies get minutes, but I have a really hard time sitting here and watching 31 from Patty Mills, seeing that you still give Blake Griffin 11, James Johnson, some people seem to be really high on him. I'm not as positive around what he's doing. This is where I look and I say, unless you're going to give me an explanation that Bruce Brown isn't playing for a very particular reason, it does become odd that you're not utilizing that player, especially for some key sequences when you need to get stops, when you need all the things that he's done for you. So there's probably some layers.
I think we're going to see this is like the beginning stages of Bruce Brown not being a net. Like, after the season, he's on the 1-year contract, and these are the first steps to saying like, we're not bringing you back, and you don't have a future here. I don't know.
I'll leave you with this cliffhanger, because I think there's he and David Duke Jr. I think fall into this category of, you're trying to showcase what David Duke Jr.'s value may be. If you're thinking about any possibility of any moves or whatever, and somebody's going to want a young player, a talented guy, these are the guys that, as we say, Bembry's established himself. These are guys you throw in on things, whatever's going to be available. We're going to take a look at some of that stuff over the next few weeks, but But I think you're right. I think it probably was a little bit more written on the wall in the contract that he signed coming back, and we could have maybe assumed it. Then you look at the additions and the way the season has played out, and it does just feel like that's going to be coming to an end. So, listen, the good news is it's really late, and the Nets lost.
And
the best part is they're going to play in Chicago at 10 o'clock on Wednesday night. So it's the gift that keeps on giving.
It's all good. We still get hoops. All right. Head over to YouTube. Love all the numbers we're doing on YouTube. So just make sure that you're going over there. This episode and more are going up there every single day. Like and subscribe over there. Leave some comments. We try to get into the comments as much as possible. Respond to everything as well. So subscribe to the YouTube channel. I will put the link in the show notes.
A lot of decisions to be made from a coaching perspective. I guess some mistakes you never stop paying for. Roy Hobbs.
Oh. One of the all-time great poets. R.I.P. We will be back again tomorrow talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.